Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we do, we are moving systematically, step by step and part by part, through one verse in Genesis chapter 2, and that is verse 7. This is a key verse as we wrestle with who we are as men and women in relation to God. And I have broken down the verse into three parts. Thus far, we have discussed part 1, and I have said something about one word in part 2. Today, we'll move ahead to learn how God brought life to the first man. If you are just joining us or you need the reminder, here is Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 in full. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And the second part of the verse, found right there in the middle, says this: the Lord God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Well, we should ask, what does this mean? It means this: God gives man and woman breath and life. I invite you to stop and think about that for a moment. God is the one who gives all of us breath and life. Now, that may be obvious to you, and you may completely agree with this statement, but you're in the minority. In a world in which most people do not believe in God, where countless millions discount his existence, let alone the absolute necessity of God for breath and life, the people we interact with this day would never think to credit God with the very breath they take. Breathing. We do not think about it until we cannot breathe, and then we are in a panic. If you have ever struggled to breathe, then you know what I mean. According to the numbers I researched, and you can correct me if I am wrong, the average adult takes 20,000 breaths per day, or between 12 to 16 breaths per minute. This is all done subconsciously. We do not think about it, although maybe you will think about it now that I am talking about breathing. But when this time passes, you and I will go on breathing without even giving it thought. Unless, of course, we have trouble doing it. Ultimately, when we stop breathing, we die. So breath is always directly associated with life. And if God is the one who gives to us breath, and therefore life, then God is essential to us. And the Bible teaches that God is self-existent. That is, God has life in himself. I have taught the self-existent nature of God before on this podcast and radio broadcast, so I do not want to go too far into this now. But it is important to remind you that God does not depend on any outside source for his life. God is. God has always existed, he does exist, and he will always exist. God has life in himself, and God has breath in himself. But we are not self-existent. We exist only because God created us and because God sustains us with breath and life. We are totally dependent on God, whether we like it or not, and most people do not like this, sadly. So let's get back to Genesis 2:7 now and see what we find. As we do this, we have to bring in the first part of the verse that we discussed earlier this week. Genesis 2:7 begins, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground." Let's pause and ask, what is man? Well, the Lord God has formed man. He made man of dust from the ground. So in our mind's eye, we see the first man standing before God, or maybe he is lying down before God. That man is fully formed, perfectly created, structured. His whole body has been put together. He has the entire respiratory system. The man has a mouth, a nose, nostrils, sinuses, a throat, the pharynx, the trachea, bronchial tubes, and of course, lungs. He has the diaphragm and the ribs. and a whole host of other body parts necessary for breathing. Breathing is actually complex and affects all parts of the body. And the man before God has all of the other internal and external physical organs. But the man does not have life. And he does not have life because he does not have breath. This man is incapable of producing breath on his own. He needs to acquire breath from someone other than himself. And that someone, notice, no other person exists. That someone is the Lord God. The man requires God to give him breath and life. Let me quote from Henry M. Morris and his book, The Genesis Record. Man's body had been completely formed, but was lifeless. He must be energized. The breathing mechanism must be activated. The heart must start to pump and circulate the blood, and all the metabolic functions must begin their operations. But life can only come from life. And the living God is the only self-existent being, so it must ultimately come from Him. Especially to stress the unique relationship of human life to the divine life, this scripture verse tells us that God Himself directly imparted life and breath to man. That's Dr. Morris on this key verse. I really like how Morris emphasized this. Life can only come from life. This is so true. Without God, this first man has no breath and no life, even though his body is made. But with God, breathing into his nostrils the breath of life, man lives. Man's body instantaneously begins to function. The gift of life. Life is always a gift, pure gift from the Creator to the creature. And this should cause us to reflect on our own lives. Are you glad to be alive? Well then, praise and thanks for breath and life goes to the Lord God. Pressing on, we should take it literally that God breathed into the man's nostrils. Should we? Well, personally, I do not think we should take this too literally. The word nostrils is there simply to describe how man breathes. And of course, God is all-powerful, and by using his power with his creativity, God has this man breathing prior to moving him to the garden. Like yesterday, when we looked at the Hebrew word for dust, today I want to spend a little time on this Hebrew word translated into the English as breathed. In the Old Testament, it is used in two ways. One is quite specific, and the other more general. Let's start with the specific use in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 17. Daniel 10 is a truly remarkable passage of Scripture. I wish we had time today to walk together through it, but we do not. Here, Daniel is speaking of a great weakness that he feels. Do not worry. In the very next verse, verse 18, one with human appearance will touch Daniel and strengthen him. I'll let you read the text to figure out who that is. Daniel chapter 10. But it is in verse 17 where Daniel uses this word for breath. I'm reading now Daniel chapter 10 and verse 17. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. There is the same word used in Genesis 2 for breath. And this is a specific use dealing with the effects on the human body when there is little or no breath. Daniel is so exhausted that it has negatively affected his breathing. And then in the Old Testament, we have a more general use for the same word breath or breathe or breathed. There are several texts to choose from. And what I want you to see in here is that in these texts, breath is used to mean life. Breath means life. For example, there is reference to breath meaning life in the book of Joshua. I'll read in Joshua chapters 10 and 11. In chapter 10, verse 40, the Bible says, "Thus Joshua struck all the land, the hill country and the Negev and the lowland and the slopes and all their kings. He left no survivor, but he utterly destroyed all who breathed, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had commanded." And then Joshua chapter 11, verses 11 and 14. They struck every person who was in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was no one left who breathed. Verse 14, all the spoil of these cities and the cattle, the sons of Israel took as their plunder, but they struck every man with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them. They left no one who breathed. Where there is no breath, there is no life. I read Joshua 10:40 and 11:11 and 14. Joshua 10:40 and 11:11 and 14. Listen to our old friend Job in Job chapter 27 and verse 3. For as long as life is in me and the breath of God is in my nostrils. Well, that was Job 27:3, and it sounds a lot like Genesis 2:7. Once again, breath means life. I just have time to read two more. You may well know these. They're both beautiful scriptures. The first is Psalm 150, verse 6. I love to use this psalm in my prayers. It is a great psalm of praise to our God. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, let everything that has breath. Breath means life. And then, finally, Isaiah 42, verse 5. This will be God speaking. The text says, thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. Isaiah 42, 5, and breath obviously means, again, life. So in these passages, we have seen how Scripture uses the Hebrew word in a specific sense and in a general sense to mean life. Genesis 2:7 says, the Lord God breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. And what we have learned is that God gives man and woman breath and life. Join me tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.